Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Michael from The Honest Youth Pastor back again with another sermon review. Today, we are going to be looking at a sermon from a pastor. His name is Robert Madu. Apparently, he is the lead pastor of Social Dallas. This is the first sermon I ever watched or listened to of his, though I have seen his face a lot of different places. Apparently, like in the YouTube algorithm, the thing, you know, that gives you all the videos based on what you've watched before. I've seen his face at a lot of places. Vu Church, I think probably Hillsong. I know he's been at Elevation before. I've never watched these before, so this was my first interaction with Robert Madu. So thank you for, I don't know who suggested this. I know it was in the comment sections, but this is why we're here. This is you. You brought this to us. So let's see if this is good or bad. Hey, guys, if this is your first time here at a sermon review, let me tell you why we do these things, right? This is not to say, hey, look how great these pastors are. Look how terrible these pastors are. This is to give you the tools to help you, another tool in your tool belt to help you discern biblical preaching, preaching that is good or preaching that is bad, things to look for as far as red flags, things to look for as far as helpful things that should be done during sermons, and kind of wade through all of that, because now with the internet, we all have access to a bazillion different pastors, and some of these pastors are great, and some of these pastors are not so wonderful. So our purpose here is not to kind of, you know, prop Robert up as the greatest pastor in the world, or to dunk on Robert about all the things he does wrong. Our point is to use this sermon that he preaches as an example to say, okay, what's good here? What's bad here? What can we learn from here? What should we listen for? So basically, these are, as the title suggests, unedited sermon reviews, to where if you and I are in Dallas, we're going to go into this church. We hear Social Dallas is this great church, and me and you go to this church and we sit down and we're just going to listen to him. And I'm going to stop this periodically to give commentary. Now, this sermon is an hour and 12 minutes long. If you're wanting to watch the whole thing unedited, the link will be in the description below. We are only going to cover an hour here. So when we get to the hour mark, I'm going to stop. I'll wrap up my ideas and my points. And then the sermon link will be in the description below. And you can go listen to the rest of it, applying the things that maybe hopefully you've learned here in this video. So with that being said, let's kind of jump right into his sermon. It's called The Enemy of Capacity. As part of actually a capacity sermon series, this is the first sermon of this series. He'll mention this in the sermon, but let me just tell you flat out, right out front here. Apparently, he's been on sabbatical for 30 days. He hasn't preached at Social Dallas. This is his first Sunday back in 30 days. So you kind of get the sense of that. Like I said, he'll mention that as well. But that's important for us to know. This is a new series. He's fresh off sabbatical. And this is you and I. We're walking in. We've been invited to Social Dallas. Let's sit down. Let's listen to Robert, and let's see. Let's see what we get. Let's go.
I'm beginning a new series today, and I want to center this series around one word. One word. This one word.
Okay, I want to stop real quick. This is what I want you to watch for right now, right? Speaking ability, the ability to capture one's audience, whether they're, and again, obviously it's different from a social setting where it's just, you know, you giving a talk versus a sermon where you're talking to congregants. There's a whole different dynamic there. We're not really going to get into that. But the base underlying thing here is you want to be able to captivate the people you're talking to so that they pay attention, right? So that they're engaged. So this is what I want you to listen to, this first kind of section here, as he kind of hooks these people in. Kind of just look at what he does, because there's some good things we can learn from this
that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. This word is so vital, it's so necessary, it's so imperative for where we are as a church and as a community. One single word. I had 31 days off from preaching, and I'm obsessed with this word. I cannot stop thinking about this word. I keep dreaming about this word. I see everything in life now through the lens of this word. Matter of fact, you are sitting in this word right now. The reason we're going to Gillies, because of this word.
So just to give you a real heads up, Gilly's apparently is a new building they're going to do. From what I kind of gather from this sermon, and if you watch the whole thing through, you'll kind of, I think, pick up on that as well. Apparently they are a church plant, or at least this building isn't their, like, building. They're leasing it is what I would guess. And they're moving to a place called Gilly's, whatever that is. Apparently it's a bigger building that can hold more people. That's the idea. So he'll mention that a few times just so you kind of know what he's doing and what he's saying. That's apparently what he's talking about. Also, so did you see, as far as speaking wise, like he's just reiterating this thing over and over again. I got one word. This one word is why you're here. This one word is what I've been focused on. I was off for 31 days and this one word captivated me, right? Or not captivated. He says this one word like hooked me in. So he's bringing them along, right? Now, there's a lot of different methodologies in how to start a sermon. Some people will do this. Some people will tell a story. My preferred method, as I have mentioned here numerous times, is to jump right into the scripture you're looking at. I'm not saying that's the perfect way. I'm just saying that I think it's probably, I personally think it's the best way. But here we go. So this is what he's doing. He's really drawing them in here. They're going, so now you're thinking, if you were in the audience, you're thinking, okay, well, what is this word? What is, it's so important. What is this word? So here we go. Keep going.
Right here. We're going to do some merch with this word. If we don't do merch, I'm getting it tatted on my face. That's how serious I am.
Can I just put this out here? Churches and merch are like, really? Really? Okay. 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 Whatever. You do you.
About this. This word is why some of you are frustrated in life right now. This word is why some of you are blessed right now. This word is why some of you lay your head on your pillow at night and you cry tears of regret. This word can transform generations. This word can change your destiny and your legacy. It's just one word. I'm going to talk about it for a long time. Start today. It's one word. Hope you can get it. Capacity. Capacity. I'm obsessed with this word, capacity, the power of capacity, the potentiality of capacity, the certainty of capacity.
Okay, so we'll kind of stop right there real quick. So just as you saw, right, him drawing the audience in, him really setting this up for them as you're sitting there, even as you're watching, you're going, okay, well, what is this word? Like what word are we using? Are we going to say Jesus? Like, is that the word we're going to use? Like, salvation, redemption, like justification? Like, what word are we using? Well, he goes with capacity. So this is where I want us to switch gears. So obviously that speaking mechanism, that way of drawing people in is great because they are in it. They're wondering what word you're going to use. Now he uses the word capacity. Now I'm just going to say, and I'm not going to stop this every minute and every 30 seconds. I just want to kind of set this up. I'm going to let this play out for a bit. And this is what I want you to think about as we're entering into this sermon. Like, this is the intro, right? I'm going to let this play for a while. I mentioned this in our last sermon review. There is a huge difference between TED Talk Christianity and Christianity, biblical Christianity. TED Talk Christianity is self-help, essentially, with Jesus sprinkled on top of it. And biblical Christianity is scripture, scripture, scripture. Everything points to Jesus, okay? That's a very quick summation, but you get the idea. As we listen to this introduction, I want you to say, okay, well, where does this sermon fit? TED Talk Christianity or biblical Christianity? And it's not going to be difficult for you to figure out. Robert, he's going to kind of get you there real fast. But I want you to listen for it because that's important for when you go into a church like you and I are doing, and we're sitting down right now and we're listening to this sermon. The introduction that's drawing us into this is important. So let's listen for what Robert says here.
The uncertainty of capacity. The mystery of capacity. I want to talk about one word, maybe to the end of this year, because it's that profound. Capacity. Since the pandemic hit, it immediately made conversations about this word. Capacity. You've seen the signs, oh, we're at 15% capacity. We're at 25% capacity. Oh, we're at 50% capacity. Go back to the next day. Oh, we're at 3%. 3% capacity. You said 50 yesterday? Yeah, CDC, they changed their mind. We're at 3% capacity. It's I'm obsessed. I see it through everything. Who? Some of you, your relationship problems right now? Capacity. Because you keep going to somebody to get something that they don't have the capacity. Why can't you love me the way I need to be loved? They are. They just don't have the. Ooh. Y'all been watching the Olympics? All right. I'm obsessed with the Olympics right now. I'm watching everybody. I'm watching every time it's on, I'm watching it. I'm watching everybody. First of all, because we have an international family. Our family is very international, okay? I'm Nigerian American. My wife is Arkansas American. And our kids, we found this out, they've been in a lot of sun. They turned Puerto Rican in the sun. I'm for everybody this year. But no, every time it's on, no matter what the event is, I watch it. Why? It's showing me capacity. I don't care what the event is. I got to see it. Because who knew you could throw a javelin that far? Who knew you could run that fast? Who knew you could do a somersault on a beam this wide? I'm trying not to fall off this stage right now. Capacity. That's what you're watching on the screen. You're watching capacity.
Okay, so we're going to stop it. All right, now, granted, we are only 4 minutes and 24 seconds into the sermon, but I think you kind of get the sense of where this is going. And honestly, I would let it keep playing because it's just so you can sit in just this ongoing. Honestly, I'll let you know. This goes on for 3 more minutes, but I need to stop it because, you know, of copyright stuff on YouTube. Like, I have to talk. Like, I have to interject here. We're going to get, let me just give you a spoiler alert. We're going to get 7 minutes into this sermon before we even talk about God. And again, that's God in a general sense. That's not Jesus specifically, you know, like that's not Jesus Christocentric speaking as Christians should do, like that distinguishes us from other religions, right? I mean, you can use the word God, but it's very general, especially when you're talking to people from 1,000 different religions, right? I mean, God is a very general term. Jesus is specific. We're only 4 minutes and 24 seconds in. Just spoiler alert. I'm really having to temper myself back in this review. And I'll show you why, and I'll tell you why as we get through it. But we're going to get nearly 10 minutes into this sermon before we even enter into something that looks like a sermon. That being said, I do want you to listen to the rest of this because we need to sit in it. Because if you and I are sitting in this church, we're hearing this, right? We've come to this church. We've been invited to this church to hear a sermon. Let's listen to it then.
I'm wondering today, have you ever contemplated your capacity? Oh, what you could be. What you could do. What you could do if you weren't afraid.
Just, this is a lot of self-help. Let me just interject that real quick. Listen for self-help. You can make yourself better. You can be the king of the world. Just listen for that type of talk because it's full of it. This is all full of it.
What you could do if you weren't so insecure. What you could do if you weren't afraid of failing. Who? Do I want to hit you this soon? Yeah. Who you could be if your screen time was your prayer time. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at the time and been like, I could have a PhD. Are you sitting now? That much time? Killing your capacity because it's taking your focus. Everything in your life has to do with your capacity. Would you just say capacity? That's all you got.
Now, I'm going to stop this because he is going to do something here real quick that I think is a very good speaking tool in order to prove a point. So I want to give him credit where credit's due here. Robert is a really talented speaker. He is able to engage his audience. He's able to keep them engaged. He knows how to pace himself in a way that brings you in, that you're leaning in. You're very interested in what he's saying. And the advice he's giving isn't necessarily bad advice in regards to if you are looking for self-help, if you are looking to make yourself better. Like, none of this, this fits into a category. The category just isn't a sermon. He's about to do something that I think is very intriguing from a speaking perspective, and it shows that Robert knows what he's doing in regards to ensuring that he has his audience's attention. So the one thing I want to make abundantly clear at the beginning of this is that, like, Robert is a great public speaker. Like, no doubt about it at all. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's obviously trained in this. He obviously works on this craft. Like, he is a great speaker. The next thing he's about to do, it's just going to demonstrate that more. So pay attention to that. I think there are some things here from a public speaking aspect that can be helpful for pastors in regards to engaging the congregation. So let's watch this.
Say it one more time. Say capacity.
Capacity.
Oh, my goodness. Come on, y'all. We've been gone 4 weeks. That's, okay, do me a favor. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to count to three. It's our last time at the high five. Count to three. And with everything you got, I want you to say capacity. Okay? Lose your mind. One, two, three.
Capacity!
I didn't know you was gonna get that loud. I could close the sermon now. Question. Why you didn't say it like that the first time? It was in your ability. Your lungs and your diaphragm could have done it. It's because I didn't make a demand. I put a demand, and you expanded your.
Now, I don't want. Again, this is just this doesn't have a ton to do with the sermon review of itself. I'm just taking advantage of having a picture of the audience here. I don't see any Bibles. Now, I'm not saying that they did not sit them down in their chair when they stood up to do this little exercise. That's entirely possible. But I don't see anybody holding a Bible at all. Well, maybe, no, I think that's her purse. I don't know. There's no Bibles. Anyway, that's just an observation. Maybe unimportant to you. I think it says a little bit.
Some things will never come out of you. Some things will never be heard in the earth until God puts a demand, or you put the demand on your. Are you going back to the first time? Until you put the demand on your
capacity.
It won't come out of you until a demand is placed on you. My spotty senses are going crazy. I got too many illustrations. I'm prepping this week, flipping through channels, watching X-Men. And it happens in every movie. A little kid doesn't know what's in them. Think you regular, think you weird, until something falls off a shelf. And they're shocked, and the whole class is too. Because they didn't know what was in them.
We are 8 minutes and 30 seconds in, and he's using illustrations from movies and not the Bible. Like, you could say I'm being nitpicky here, But what are we doing? This is where, like, let me just, like, take the frustration filter off for a second. If this is what preaching is, I am not surprised that people are leaving the church whenever any accusation is raised against the scripture. If this is what you think preaching is, if you are being taught about your capacity and we haven't even referenced scripture 10 minutes into the sermon, I'm not surprised you don't know apologetics. I'm not surprised you don't have an answer for why is evil in the earth. I'm not surprised that you don't know the chief end of man is to glorify God. I'm not surprised by any of that because you're being told about your capacity. Like, this is so frustrating. Because these people have come to church, some of which I am very sure have come to church in order to worship God, to hear about Jesus, to open the Bible, and this is what they get. Now, I don't know if this is the way Robert preaches every Sunday. I don't know that. But if it is, I don't know why anybody goes there. And if you want to take this outside of Robert and Social Dallas, fine, do that. If you go to a church where this is the kind of thing that's espoused from the stage, why do you go there? To feel better about yourself? To be told you can fill your own capacity up? Why? This is nonsense is what this is. So let me put the frustration filter back on and try to do this in a way that's not incredibly painful for me as I bang my head against the wall as I listen to this. Let's keep going and see if we can eventually get to scripture here. Let's keep going.
And it wasn't until the trouble came. It wasn't until the demand came that they got the revelation of the capacity. Keep saying I'm going to read a scripture. This is just my appetizer. The main course coming in a minute. Capacity. Have you contemplated your capacity? Have you contemplated God's capacity? Wonder what he could do if he had all of you. Wonder what he could do through you. Every woman of God in here, would you make some noise? Fellas, I'm be honest with you. Fellas, I'm with you. But women personify capacity. Y'all do. Every human in the earth came through a woman. Has a capacity. This is when I found out my wife was a superhero and every woman is a superhero. I'll never forget this. Y'all good? Never forget this. My daughter had just been born. We had finally got quiet. It's in the middle of the night. I'm laying next to my wife, Taylor, with new parents. All of a sudden, she wakes up. Oh! No! I'm like, what? I'm tired. We in the bed. Daughter asleep. Oh! I can't. Like, why? Our little baby was in the room. She's hungry. I literally got up and looked in the crib. I said, no, she's not. She's asleep. Oh, she's hungry. I said, how did you, what are you talking about? She goes, my milk is coming in. And I kid you not, not 3 seconds after she said, my milk is coming in, my little Eve. I was like, yo, is this voodoo? What is?
Just an update. I'm sorry, we're just stopping this to stop it. We are 11 minutes and 18 seconds into the sermon. And we haven't opened the Bible yet. Nor have we've barely, I'll give him some credit. He talked about praying and he talked about God's capacity. So we have mentioned some spiritual things here. We're 11 minutes in. If you don't see a problem with this, please in the comment section, tell me how this isn't an issue currently. 11 minutes in to a sermon. We haven't mentioned scripture. We haven't prayed. We haven't done anything that's different from if we went to a how to fulfill your capacity seminar by Robert. Easily at this point, I could have started it and stopped it and not told you this was a church and you wouldn't have known. You may have thought that it had some spiritual aspects to it, obviously with the prayer and the mention of God, but you wouldn't have known this was a church. I could have put some overlays on here that said, TED Talk or, capacity seminar. I could have done all of that. And you would barely know the difference.
Her body started producing something that there wasn't even a demand for yet. This is why some of you are confused right now, because you got all these dreams and you got all these visions and you're going, I can do this and I can do that. And there's not even a demand for the thing that you're already producing on the inside of you, but you've already got the... All my fellas, make some noise. Watch, no, watch. Oh my goodness. Fellas, I'm gonna help you in a minute, watch. You see how much shorter? It's because of capacity. No, I'm being for real. Women have more capacity. You give her a house, she'll make it a home. You give her a vision, she'll give you a plan. You give her a word. She'll give you the longest story, the long. You heard it. Woo! They went on for 5 minutes. Fellas, that's all I got. Capacity. Capacity. Go to any little boy in here. Take him to a playground. Kids don't play anymore. Put him on a video game. Whatever he's playing, whatever he's doing, I promise you. I promise you, he'll ask you a question like this. You think I can do this? You think I can do that? If you want to shut it down, just look at him and say, yeah. He'll be like, oh, okay, never mind. But tell him, you can't do that. Oh, you don't? You don't think I can do it? He'll step into it. Men, we don't want somebody that will limit our challenges. We want somebody that will help us challenge our limits, that will show me what is my...
I wish that I, in doing these sermon reviews, found the parts and just went to a specific part and critiqued a specific part of the sermon, okay? I've said this before on numerous sermon reviews. The reason they are called unedited is because we are going to sit here and we're going to sit in the pain of all of the whatever this is, and we're going to sit through it as if we were there so that we can say, is this a biblical sermon? Right, I want you to say, I understand right now, it's like, okay, oh, this sermon review is just us watching Robert and you making random comments about how it's not biblical. Yes, that's exactly what it is right now, because that's all it is right now. We are 14 minutes into this sermon and we haven't done anything other than attend a life seminar about your capacity and how you can be better. Oh my goodness. One thing I would like to say. This was uploaded on August 3rd of 2021. I did not mention that. This has been viewed 10,000 times at the date of this recording. Okay, which the date of this recording, I'm recording this on August 5th. Okay, so 2 days or 3 days. No, 2 days. I'm sorry. I can't count. 10,000 views. It has 469 thumbs up, likes, like accolades. Like, I agree with this, right? So all I can assume here is that there are a large number of people that assume that this is preaching. Again, nothing against Social Dallas, nothing against Robert Madu, even though I think this is not a sermon, but he's not the only one that does this. Like, this is the state of Christianity right now, which is why, in part, I think a lot of people are leaving. Why a lot of people can't defend the faith. Why a lot of people can't even quote you a scripture within the context of the passages that they're getting that from. Like, this is problematic. This is what I want to... This is problematic. And you can go off in the DMs and you can go off in the comment section all you want, but there is no way you can classify this as a biblical sermon. You can't even classify this as a sermon right now. Even not a good one. Like, we have it. There's no aspects of a sermon even in this right now. Let's keep going.
God wants to increase our churches and yours. Capacity.
I would love a verse, please. I'm begging you at this point for some sort of verse, some sort of reference, some sort of, just point me in the vaguest direction in which that is a biblical thing, please, please, please.
Pastor, that's why we're going to Gillies. 14 people got turned away last week. They couldn't get in. Did we turn away anybody today? Hallelujah. Pastor, would you bow your heads? Hand me the handheld mic. I want to use that so y'all can hear me better. Just repeat this prayer. Say, Lord, please help me. Increase my capacity. You may be seated. Faith puts a demand on the capacity, the unlimited capacity of God. But there's some.
Okay, so there are going to be things that you hear pastors say, such as that, or such as the things that he said up to this point, in which you are going to say, well, that sounds right, or maybe that sounds good. But this is where, whenever we're listening to sermons, we want to point everything back to, we want everything grounded in Scripture, right? That's the whole point. We want everything to be based in Scripture. And if it's not, then we're just kind of grabbing at the wind here, right? I mean, there's things that you can be like, well, that kind of says that here, that kind of says that, like, but if it's not being grounded to that in the sermon, you can't assume that's what the pastor is trying to point you to. I mean, you can throw out like hyperbolic phrases all day long that sound great on Twitter, like as one-liners, but if they're not based in Scripture, I don't care how great they sound. Like, I need you to show me where Scripture says that, because I could care less about what you say if it's not connected to Scripture. That's just the truth, okay? Because you can literally say anything that sounds really good and make it sound kind of like Scripture, but it's not. So this is what we're looking for when we're listening for sermons, right? The things that are said that sound great about faith, about God, about Jesus, about the Christian life, like, if they're not connected in some way, if they're not tethered to God's word that's inspired, that's been handed down, that is authoritative, then you can take whatever phrase you want. You can just, there's the door. Because I don't care. If it's not connected to God's word, I do not care. So what you're looking for here is when pastors say things like this, and this is the same thing I tell people when I preach. Like, if I say something that's not connected to the Bible, please point that out. Please tell me. Because this is just me talking now. So we're at 15 minutes and 16 seconds. We have pivoted now to where he has said a prayer, which whatever that was. And he's had everybody sit down. So the assumption here is that we've now pivoted from the introduction, which was 15 minutes of self-help, into what the assumption is that we're all sitting down now. Now he's got his serious voice on. He's got his mic in his hand. That we're going to get into some sort of scripture here, right? Is that what we're doing now? That's the assumption. We're kind of transferring from one part of the sermon to the next. So let's see what happens.
Something else that will be a threat to your capacity. And that's what I want to talk about today. All that was in my appetizer. I was gone 31 days. Go with me to Mark chapter 6. Go with me to Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. It says, afterward, Jesus left Capernaum and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. On the Sabbath, he went to teach in the synagogue. And everyone who heard his teaching was overwhelmed with amazement. One version says, this says astonishment. And they said among themselves, what incredible wisdom has been given to him. Where did he receive such profound insights? And what mighty miracles flow through his hands? Isn't this? Oh, here's where it goes downhill. Isn't this Mary's son? The carpenter? The brother of Jacob, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? All these are the wrong question. And don't his sisters all live here in Nazareth? And they took offense at him. This ain't even part of the message. But you know you'll start to take offense and get offended when you start asking the wrong question. Asking the wrong question will always lead you towards offense. How could they do that to me? How could she do that to me? Can't believe that. Wrong question. Better question. God, how could you be so good to me that you will reveal that she wasn't with me anyway? Ooh, thank you. See? How much better do you feel? Took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is treated with honor everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house. And he was unable to do any, he, being Jesus, was unable. Doesn't even feel. Feel right to read it. How can the one who is able be unable? He was unable to do any great miracles in Nazareth except to heal a few sick people by laying his hands upon them. And he was amazed at the depth of their unbelief. And Jesus went out into the different villages and taught the people. It's just the introductory message, so I promise you it won't be long. But we're going to be in it next week at Gillies. Again tonight at the Granada. I want to title this first installment of the series, Capacity, The Enemy of Capacity. The Enemy.
So what we're looking at here, just so we're clear on kind of where we're at in the sermon. He has read the scriptures, finally. Mark chapter, now I forgot. Let me pull it back up here. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Now, ideally, what we would do here then is we're going to somehow, just when we're sitting here listening to him, the assumption is that we are going to connect what we've read in chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 in Mark with some sort of capacity that he's already talked about for the first 15, 16 minutes of this sermon, right? All he's talked about is capacity. So at some point, our assumption is we're going to walk through this text. We're going to talk about capacity. Probably in light of Jesus. That's the assumption, right? Just based off what we read, we can kind of make those assumptions. So let's see what Robert does, because he read the text now, which is great. But what are we going to now do with the scriptures that were read? That's what we're looking for now. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to, because here's the beautiful part about a sermon, right? Even if the first 15 minutes were trash, like they could have easily been thrown out and we would lose nothing at all. So the beautiful thing about this sermon is even 18 minutes in, this could be turned around. 18 minutes in, we could still turn it around. We've read scripture. So if we now get into scripture, we exegete it right. We talk about culture and context and what's happening here, and just this whole complicated thing with the people that know Jesus, and they know his family, and they know his brothers, and they know his sisters, but they also know that he's wise and he's able to heal. We could talk about a lot of that, about how Jesus is amazing to them, and his abilities of what he's able to do, and how that points to something much greater. Let's see what we do with this text.
Of capacity. Look at your neighbor, the one you like the best. Just say neighbor. Capacity has an enemy. Look at your other neighbor. Say other neighbor. There is an enemy of capacity. It's probably not the best question to ask in church, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When was the last time you said a cuss word? Don't raise your hand. No, for real. Was it last year, 5 years ago, last week, last month, this morning in the parking lot? When was the last time? You know, things happen. Just slip. Whoa, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. No condemnation, because I am fully convinced. I have no scientific evidence to substantiate it. I'm convinced, some of y'all ain't gonna like this, that there's a cusser in all of us. It just takes the right scenario to bring it out. I'm fully convinced of that. Like, some of you are mad right now. Y'all religious people are mad right now. You're like, oh my God, I would never. To you, I would say, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Some of you in here today, and you're here, you're like, I have never cussed. To you, I say, do you have kids, though? Do you have any children, more than one? Because I think that there's certain scenarios and situations that have a way of bringing out things in you that you didn't know were in you. And believe it or not, I think it's healthy. I think it's good for you to see your humanity every once in a while to go, oh, wow, God is still working on me. Obviously, you want to grow and you need to speak life and hope and peace and encouragement. But I'm telling you, I'm convinced that if you haven't yet, the right scenario will pull it out of you. It will. Here's one I was thinking about, especially as it relates to this message on capacity. Y'all, back to the first one again.
So just keep watching, right? I mean, we're still... I'm like in the bushes waiting for Mark, the passage that we just read, to jump out, and then we're going to look at it. That's what I'm waiting for. Just waiting. Just me over here waiting for that to happen. Just ignore me. I'm just waiting for us to look at scripture.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. This message on.
Yeah.
I was thinking that there's nothing that will show you your humanity like getting up, getting dressed, putting on multiple outfits, standing in the mirror going, no, not this one, that one. Getting in your car, posting before you go, oh, this gonna be a night. Only to get to a location, to get to an event, and for them to look at you and say, I'm so sorry. We cannot let you in. Excuse me? We are at full.
Oh,
if you wanna see how much of the fruit of the Spirit is in you, see how you react in that moment right there. When somebody tells you, ever had somebody tell you, you can't get in that moment, every person that's ever rejected you, it just brings those feelings. What do you mean I can't get in? That's what my daddy did. He would never let me into his heart. I'm like, whoa, anybody talking about your daddy? I'm just telling you, they're gonna call the fire marshal. It hits your rejection buttons. People don't let you in. And it's not just in secular events. I'm telling you, I thought of this. We had an event. Some of the team is here. They remember it. I never forget when we were at limited capacity. We were at Granada Theater. We had this incredible worship night with this worship leader. I don't know if you heard of him, Chandler Moore. And he was there. And you don't know this, Chandler, but there, we had the worship night, and we had limited capacity. We had to cut it off.
Y'all keep listening to this. I'll be right back.
And some people, let's say this, some people, they actually stayed outside We posted it on Instagram. They said, it's cool, it's fine. And they got in a huddle and they started worshiping. They're worshiping. It was actually a supernatural moment. There was a moment they were worshiping and couldn't hear on the inside, but they ended up singing one of the same songs we were worshiping in on the inside. It was a powerful moment. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And that's the moment we posted on Instagram. Look at this group of people who couldn't get in, but yet they lifted up their hands to worship. You know what we didn't put on Instagram? It's people who lifted up a hand too, but it wasn't just a hand, it was a finger on a particular hand, who could not believe that a church would not let them in. It's not being funny, I can't make this up. There was a person that said, some of us need a miracle. And our team is so awesome, they said, well, can we pray for you right here? No! And then they walked off and went in the car. Mad. Because we had limited capacity. And those feelings are legit, and those feelings are realistic. Because if you've ever been in that moment, you're looking at the building and you're looking at your body mass index. You're going, like, for real? Like, you can't let, like, just me in? Have you ever even seen those signs that say, like, maximum occupancy? Have you ever seen those signs? They have one here. They have to have it on the front, like 650 people. And you're looking at the building and looking at it, you're like, come on, you can't get more than 650 people in there. I'd probably get 200,000 in there. Y'all ain't got faith. You ever seen one of those? And it's frustrating because it doesn't make sense that that would be the limit.
I just want you to keep something in mind real quick. Here, very shortly, I think we'll be able to get to it. We might not be able to get to it. We only got about 10 minutes left here in this glorious example of a sermon. But he's going to say that he would have expounded more on the scripture. He just didn't have time. Like I think he says, I'd love to dig into the scripture and explain this more, but we just ain't got time. In which he clearly apparently ignores the 20 minutes we've wasted up to this point. Like I know this is a different type of sermon review, guys, but here's the thing. Like you could literally cut out the point in which we read Mark chapter 6 verses 1 through 6. You could cut that out. You could splice that together in a way that would take very little editing, and then just spit that out, and you wouldn't even have known that it was gone. You wouldn't know. You would have no clue. I might do it just as an example. We'll see. If I do, that'll be in the links too. Like, I like to say that, like, this is a poor example of a sermon, but this isn't even a sermon, guys. Like, I'm not sure if the person that suggested doing a sermon review on Robert Madu, like, likes Robert. If you do, I'm sorry. I'm not. Like, if you walk into a church and this is what you're hearing, tell me where's the edification of the body in regards to the apostles' teachings and the things that the prophets prophesied about in regards to Jesus? And where does any of this point to Jesus and a changed life in him, us growing to be more like him through the process of sanctification? Where's the gospel presentation that we are sinners in need of Jesus, and Jesus is the one that saves us from the wrath of God because of our sins? Where's that? Where's that presentation? All right, so I'm going to let him finish this up, this section. We'll wrap up kind of the points here, and then like I always say, I'll encourage you to go watch the rest of this. We're only 23 minutes into this currently, but I'm going to let him finish up this point here, and then we'll kind of wrap this sermon review up.
Of capacity. And the reason that some of you are mad in those moments is because you don't understand the decision of capacity is not predicated upon that person that's telling you they can't get in. There's this thing called building codes. Building codes have a capacity that long before you got there and long before the building got there, they already analyzed what the capacity would be. And the reason they had to do it is because capacity is not just based upon how many people you can get in. They know you can get more than 650. Building capacities are actually set not by how many people get in, but rather if there was an emergency, are there enough exits for people to get out? It's not about how many people you can get in a building. It's if there was an emergency, could the people that got in find a safe way to get out? That is why they have the codes. It is upon exit, not entry. Capacity has to do with input and output. Capacity has to do with what's coming in and what's coming out. Y'all missing the message right here. Some of you have said in your life, how come I don't have enough capacity? I just don't have enough capacity. The reason is because there's more going out than there is coming in. You haven't filled yourself with the power and the Spirit of God. Some of you would change your capacity if you just said, every day I get up, before I go on to work, I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to make sure that there's enough in me. Capacity is about entry and exit. I wonder if that's why the church is standing at a pause right now when God shut down our buildings and didn't let us get in. And even now, so many churches are like, come back to the building. Come back to the building. Come back. As if Jesus died on the cross to get people in the building. Get it twisted. I'm a pastor. I want you to come in the building. But that is not the mission of the church, just to get them in the building. The mission of the church is to reach people wherever they are. But we have so reduced what God can do. Just
Okay. I said I wasn't going to stop it, but I'm going to have to stop it. So he mentions Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus did not die to get people in the building. Absolutely true. So why did he die? He says the purpose of the church is to go reach people wherever they are. Okay, you got like half the sentence out. Like, what do we do then when we do that? What are we doing? What does it mean that we're reaching people wherever they are? What does that mean? And how does that connect to the cross? Like, there's an opportunity here to present the gospel right here in the midst of everything else we've not said. We have an opportunity to do that. While before that, I would like to make a comment on the stuff before he talks about filling yourself up and getting yourself prepared. And while there is truth to that, there is in a Christian's life, in a believer's life, there is a desire to read the word. There is a mindset as we're being changed to be more like Jesus, that we understand that even in horrible circumstances, that he is good and that we praise him. The way that he words this before really sets it up. And I don't think he maybe meant for it to be set up this way, but the way it's being heard, or at least the way that kind of checked off in my mind, was that like, that's you do that. Like, you're the one that fills yourself up. You're the one that makes yourself have a good day. You're the one that like prepares, like God's the one that changes your heart and mind so that you have the perspective to see in the correct manner. That's a heart and mind change. So that's a huge difference. Like, I want you to catch this. This is a huge difference between the Holy Spirit changing my heart and mind to see my circumstances in a different light than I would have previously seen them because of the change he does in me, versus me reading a bunch of Bible verses and getting myself hyped up with worship music and then going out into the world that and bad situations happen. And then I just basically have to hype myself up every day to go out into the world versus my perspective being changed by the Holy Spirit. One is a perspective change. The other is me hyping myself up. And that is a huge difference. And I think the more I talk to people that have left the church or have doubts in the goodness of God, 9 times out of 10, it goes back to where they were told to hype themselves up, to prepare themselves, to read and pray and get that worship music in you. And it's not that that is bad. It's just the reason you're doing it. Are you doing it to hype yourself up, or are you doing it because you love it? You want to do it. Your heart and mind have been changed. You're not the one that fills you up. You're not. You're not the one that changes your perspective. God does that. God changes your desire to do that. You want to read his word. You want to worship him. Even in the midst of horrible circumstances, he is working in you to make you more like Jesus. Not you over here going, all right, I need to listen to this. This is my jam. This worship song here is going to pump me up for the day. And then something smacks you in the face and you go, God, where are you? Because you were living off the coattails of somebody else's worship song, hoping it would hype you up. Your heart and mind aren't changed. Anyway, Let's keep going.
To a building that you don't realize that God could do something in the coffee shop, that God could start a revival at North Park Mall, that God could start a revival at your job, that God could use you in any space and place that he put you in. Because it's not just about you coming in. It's about what are you going to do when you get out. It's interesting to me that every building code that you see, it actually was birthed out of tragedy.
Okay, so we are going to stop here. You can pick this up at 26 minutes and 24 seconds. That's where we've stopped it. I want to sum up a couple things here. One, I've listened to this all the way through. If you go through and listen to the link and you listen to the sermon all the way through, he does eventually get back to Mark. He does. It is very brief. It is a very loose connection to what he's talking about as far as capacity goes. It's very strange the connection he makes there. And even when he's making that connection, he makes it about us as the listener, not about Jesus and what's happening. So it's all eisegetical. It's all, he's reading us into the passage, not the passage being read out. So it's very strange. So he does get back to Mark eventually, but this is what the main thing I want you to see. Two things. One, speaking ability. Because Robert's good. Like, I've already said that. Let me say that again. Robert is really good at speaking. He can make entry and exit codes and capacity sound spiritual. Like, that's how good of a speaker he is, right? He's standing there, and all he did was talk about why there's a capacity on room limits on buildings. That's all he did. But he made it sound super spiritual because of the inflection and the timing. And, like, he's good. He is. He's a really good speaker. That's the first thing. Two, good speaking does not equate good preaching. It doesn't. And sometimes, often, unfortunately, people that are able to have some sort of charisma to them, that are very good networkers, that are very good leaders, that are very good at speaking, get put in positions such as pastoral positions that should not be there, not because they don't meet necessarily some moral qualifications, right? Maybe they check off all the moral qualifications we see in Scripture. But the one they miss is the ability to divide the word, the ability to teach Scripture. And if you don't check that box, that's a problem. You get this. You get a motivational speech that, all in all, isn't bad advice, but it's not a sermon. It's not based in Scripture. It's not tied and tethered to the Word of God. So what you've basically done is you've got up on a Sunday morning, went to church, heard a great motivational speech with a little bit of Jesus sprinkled in, and you leave, and you think you've been to church. You think you've been edified by the Word. You have, no. You were edified, but it wasn't by Scripture. Was it motivational? Of course it was. Yes, I would say 100% that's motivational. But where's that going to get you spiritually? How is this going to help you continue in your relationship and your walk with the Lord? These are things, these are just questions, right? These are the things you're looking for in a sermon. So what I would encourage you to do is check out the link below, watch the rest of it, and see if he exegetes the Scripture correctly. Exegetes just a big word, big fancy word for, does he look at the context and the culture and why this is included in the Gospel of Mark and what it has to say for those in that current situation, the early church and down through history to us? What can we learn about the person and work of Jesus Christ in that text so as that we can follow him better, be changed to be more like him, and go out and declare the gospel of Christ, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Guys, this was a bit of a different sermon review than normal. Normally, I'm not quite as frustrated when giving these, but I just want you to see this is nothing against Robert, but this is not a sermon. This is a really good motivational speech, and this is a trash sermon. And you can have both, right? At the same time, you'd be super motivated, but it has nothing to do with Scripture. If you found this helpful, please leave a like, please leave a comment, please share it if you feel so inclined. Guys, thank you for watching. Thank you for following. I'll talk to you next week, maybe. Bye.